Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Grow a Seven-Figure Business Right from Your Living Room for About $11 a Month. David Ricklin didn't have a business model when he first bought his domain years ago. He only wanted to help people, so he built a website that would act as a directory to other useful websites and called it selfhelp.com. Now that website makes him about $100,000 a month and counting. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all the steps he took to turn his part-time hobby into a full-on success with 1.3 million visitors per month. David says the beauty of the internet is that you can have a business up and running in no time flat with very little risk or technical skill. And with cheap hosting and domain names, your total startup costs should be around $11 a month. Here's what you're going to learn in this interview. Number one, why it's so important to know the difference between sales and marketing and where to use each to maximize their power in your business. You'll learn David's little-known way to form strategic partnerships for getting website traffic. You'll learn the only kind of paid advertising worth doing on the internet. You'll hear about two things David eventually ended up trying for his website that instantly made a difference in the amount of his traffic and conversions. You'll learn exactly how David built two separate lists of site subscribers, why he did it, and what he does with each as part of his master marketing plan. You'll learn the almost magical way to combine affiliate sales, advertising, and your own product to turn an unheard-of triple stream profit in any economy. And you'll also hear four incredible easy ways to build the perfect team. David has strategic partnerships with more than 80,000 people. He's built a phenomenal website from scratch by developing and tweaking his own business model. And in this audio interview, you'll hear how he did it and exactly what he sees as the next big idea for internet growth. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best wellness-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health challenges, please send them to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I want to start off because you built this just phenomenal site, and we're going to go more into detail about it, but how did you get inspired to do this?
It started quite a few years ago, right out of college. I went to work for a big company, Hewlett Packard, selling technology, selling computers for them. And a couple of things happened when I was there. The first was they started sending me to a lot of training programs. They sent me to sales training programs and marketing programs. They also started sending me to personal development type programs. And I had taken a Dale Carnegie program called Effective Speaking and Human Relations. And I fell in love with this concept that even after your formal education, you could continue to learn and to grow. And I knew early on that I wanted this to be an important part of my life. The next thing that started to happen is I also started to grow this desire to have my own business. Corporate America had a lot of benefits, but I also learned that I wanted to one day create something on my own. And I decided early on that I wanted to marry my own business with self-improvement, personal growth. And one way or another, I was going to tie the two together. Fast forward a few years to the 90s, mid-90s, and the internet started to become popular. And my girlfriend and I at the time decided we were going to get a domain name. So we went and purchased selfgrowth.com, and we started posting information on self-improvement, personal growth on the web. And we started doing it as a hobby. And I love telling people it was our first big commitment together. We're still dating at the time. You know, later on, we ended up getting engaged. Then we got married. Then we had children, bought a home together. But our first big commitment was the website. And ever since then, we took this little hobby website, turned it into a side business, then a bigger business, went full-time with it about 8 years ago, and haven't looked back since. We're getting a little over 1.3 million visitors a month to the site right now. I really have two purposes with selfgrowth.com. The first one is to provide a central starting point for people to find information to improve their lives. So whether you want to improve your relationships, your health, your finances, spirituality, you want to enhance your success skills, whatever it is, our goal is to provide you resources, and those resources might be articles or videos, or it might be to put you in touch with experts or products or events. And our goal is really to provide a wide range of tools for individuals to help improve their lives. And if you go to the website right now, we have over 203,000 different self-improvement resources. And for folks who just want to take a quick look, if you're listening to this, it's just www.selfgrowth.com, or if you just want to go to Google, type in the word self-improvement, and we come up with a number one self-improvement website on Google and Yahoo and just about everywhere. So that's my prime mission and my first mission, to really provide resources for folks. Or if we don't have them on selfgrowth.com, to point them in the right direction to help them. My second mission is to help people who have products and services and information, people who are experts in companies, get the word out on what they're doing so they can help more people. In essence, I almost look at what we're doing as a matchmaking service, matching people who are looking for information, products, and services with people who are providing them. And the goal, of course, is to help people improve their lives.
Where did you learn the internet marketing from?
The way I learn, and I recommend learning for folks, is really go out and find people who are successful in different areas and model or copy what they're doing. So that's what I had done, and I did this early on, and I've been continuing to do it ever since. And I really have two groups of people that I've been modeling. One are people in the self-improvement industry. So I look to see how people like the Brian Tracys and the Tony Robbins and the Jim Rohns and the Sylvia Browns and the Deepak Chopras. I looked and studied how they built their businesses and what they were teaching. And in addition, I also started looking at what people who were on the internet were doing. Who were the successful people? What are the successful websites? What are they doing? And I looked and modeled, and I literally followed many, many of them. Now, on the internet side and the marketing side, I have a lot of people that I learn from, as well as on the self-improvement side. And what I try to do is find the bits and pieces that will work best for what I'm trying to do. Early on, it was a little different. Things have changed over the internet over the last few years. One of the things that became clear to me is I needed to work and needed to partner with other people to succeed. And that was clear to me relatively early on. So the way we really started selfgrowth.com, when my wife Michelle and the two of us were doing this, we started identifying websites that were out there in our niche. So that's what really started working for us. And what we had done to begin with, if you look at selfgrowth.com in the early days, it was primarily a directory of the best websites in different topic categories. So what we would do is we said, all right, we want to provide information on goal setting. And we make a list of the top goal setting websites. And then we want to do stuff on speed reading. And we provide the most information on speed reading, the top speed reading websites, and then spirituality. And we went down the line in each of the topics. But what happened was very interesting. First, it enabled me to look at and see what these different successful websites were doing in each of the topic categories. That was the first thing I was able to do. The second thing I was able to do is I was able to reach out to these people in a very friendly way and say, I like what you're doing. I'd love to link to your website. Would you like to link back to us? Would you like to provide us any articles? Would you like to provide us any content? And early on, we started developing partnerships with first small numbers of people, and it grew over time where now we have partnerships with over 80,000 people that provide content or products or services or websites. So it was really all about partnering at a very early level. And that's probably one of the core things that's helped me the most. And we've really leveraged that a lot over the years. And I want to differentiate sales from marketing a little bit. Marketing is more of the global process that includes getting the word out, includes branding, and it also includes sales as part of the whole marketing picture. And sales for me is more of being down in the trenches. It's talking to people on the phone. It's meeting people in person. It's more of the face-to-face kind of interaction. And what I had to do is I was able to build on that because I understand one of the things about selling is you tend to learn basic core skills. You learn communication skills. And what I wanted to do and I needed to do is leverage that and learn more marketing skills. And marketing skills included things like writing copy for your website, writing copy for your product, learning how to write, learning how to create websites that are going to motivate people, learning how to publish newsletters. So I had to really develop marketing skills. I leveraged the sales skills. Also needed to develop publishing skills because we were publishing newsletters. I needed to learn product development skills because I ended up creating a number of my own products. So even though I started with sales and used that as my core knowledge because that was my background, I really leveraged and learned and developed a lot of these other skills over time. I definitely started it part-time. And one of the reasons I started part-time is years earlier, I had a false start. I did leave corporate America, left my job, walked away, and started my own business. Had nothing to do with self-improvement and personal growth, which was really what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, lost some money, learned a lot. The second time around, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this part-time. And I invested time in the evenings and in the weekends building this. And what's interesting is the way I started and turned it into a business was a little bit by accident. I had in the back of my head that I wanted it as a business, that I wanted to have the self-improvement business. I wasn't exactly sure how to build it, so I started building this website, which was really just almost a mini Yahoo at the time for self-improvement personal growth websites. And that's how we started it. But what was interesting is as we were building it, people started coming to the website, started giving us feedback, because there really wasn't a good place to do that. If you searched on Yahoo or even today search on Google, a lot of the websites that you get aren't that pertinent. They're people who are very good at search engine optimization, but they weren't necessarily the best sites. So we found people started coming to our website, and we started getting more and more traffic. And then I remember we're still doing it as a hobby. Somebody came to me, emailed me, and said, David, I see this website you're building. I like what you're doing. Could I pay you money to be listed at the top of your website? And I thought to myself, this is a great idea. I'm doing this as a hobby. Somebody wants to send me money. And I'm like, sure, here's my address. Send me some money. And that was the first of a long list of revenue-generating opportunities that we had. Well, the timing came to me. The idea was there. I knew there was going to be some way to generate revenue. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn into a business when we first started. And the first piece of the puzzle was advertising. So it became clear that we were going to start with an advertising model. We started doing paid advertising on the site, and we started continuing to build the traffic. And I really did two things that helped a lot. So I had two ideas that I saw other folks doing that I decided to model or copy that have really helped tremendously with the website. One of them was adding articles or more content. So early on when we created it, all we had on the site were website links. It was a mini Yahoo. And pretty much that was it for self-improvement. And then I had the idea that people would be interested in reading articles, so I started soliciting people for articles on the website. And we started posting articles, and we found that people love reading the articles. The next idea came to me was that people are coming to our website, and we have to sit and wait for them to come to our website. And who knew how quickly they'd come or when they'd come? We were relying on other vehicles. I said, wouldn't it be nice to build up my own list of subscribers that we can send the articles to instead of waiting for them to come to us? And that was the birth of our first email newsletter. And we started building up subscribers, and to our initial surprise, a lot of people started signing up, and then we became newsletter publishers. And we continued to run with that, and we're continuing to do both website advertisement and newsletter advertisement to this day. We're one of the first ones that had a successful email newsletter, and we're charging advertising, and things were clicking, and everything was growing, and it's continued to do so.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's Heart Defined Seminars.com. So what do you see as the best ways to get low-cost traffic? I mean, you guys were the pioneers in this, it sounds like.
There are a ton of ways to get traffic to your website, and it's also changed over the course of the years what the easiest way and what the most effective way is to do it. One of the ways we started was through the search engine. So using a technique called search engine optimization, even to this day, a lot of people start looking for material by going to Google or to Yahoo or to Bing. You know, search engines are still a great place that people are looking for. So what we focused on learning how to do and becoming very good at is getting our website and our web pages listed at the top of the search engine. So right now, if anybody types in the two words self-improvement and countless other words, we come up on the top of Google and Yahoo and Bing. So there's a whole process, and search engine optimization is a great way to get listed and a great way to get traffic. There's two key pieces to it. One is it takes time. It generally takes time. But there are some tricks of the trade, and there are some ways to get listed relatively quickly. But in general, it takes time to get significant traffic, but it's free traffic. It doesn't cost you anything. And once you get listed at the top of the search engines, you tend to get a lot of traffic depending on what your target audience and what keywords that you're looking for. So the search engines are absolutely a great way to do it. Another one, which has become very, very popular and successful over time, is social media. So what's interesting is over the course of the last few years, social media has just taken off. Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube, these sites are hot, and there are countless millions of people going to these websites. So what you can do, especially if you're an entrepreneur just getting started, is you could use these social media websites to find and identify your audience and reach out to them and then invite them back to your website to get traffic. And once again, this is a free traffic generation tool. There's a lot of methods and some things to know, but the power is there, and anybody can get started. You can get started on Facebook today or on Twitter today. There's no initial cost associated with it. You can just start running with it. And then there are countless other techniques. You know, there's something called pay-per-click advertising where you're paying on Google and Yahoo. There's a concept called article marketing where you write articles and get those published. There's another concept called affiliate marketing where you're literally paying people for traffic or for percentage of the sale. There's really a wide range of other systems and methodologies, and we're using most of these right now. And you need to really pick and choose the one that's right for you. We don't currently do any print advertising or any radio advertising. The only radio advertising we do, if you call it advertising, we try to line up radio interviews. But depending on the product or service you have, there are countless folks who are very successful with both print advertising and radio advertising. It just isn't something that we've focused on yet.
So you've done all of that without any kind of paid advertising?
The type of paid advertising we have done is we have done a little bit of Google pay-per-click advertising. We've also done a little bit of what I describe as newsletter advertising. I mentioned people can advertise in our newsletters and pay to advertise in our newsletters, but we've also paid to advertise in other people's newsletters. That's a fairly powerful and effective method as well. Well, we have some core revenue streams in terms of how we generate revenue. And I can take a few minutes just to kind of step through some of the things that we're doing. One of them is the core of what we were doing before. So we do have advertising. So, you know, if you go to selfgrowth.com, we have advertising both on our website and in our newsletters. That was really our first business model, and that continues to be a model that's worked for us over the course of years and one that we've done for a long time. Another revenue stream that we've developed, and this is really a powerful one for anybody who's getting started on the internet, is affiliate marketing. And affiliate marketing is a very simple concept. What you're doing is you're finding other people with products or services that your audience might be interested in. For example, our folks might be interested in Tony Robbins CDs or DVDs. So what we can do is promote Tony Robbins products and get paid a percentage of the sale. And that's called affiliate marketing. And we generate revenue from affiliate marketing. We also have a number of our own products and services that we've created. We have ebooks that we've created. We have print books that we've created. We also do online training and teleseminar and webinar classes that bring in a lot of revenue for us. So a lot of the material that I mentioned in terms of way to drive traffic, what's interesting is people started to come to me asking me how we were doing it. And we ended up developing training programs to teach people how to generate traffic for the website, how to build an email newsletter, how to build a website, things along those lines. We actually have a series of courses and classes, and now we have over 100 hours of training, and it's part of another website. We run a number of different websites, not selfgrowth.com. It's called selfgrowthmarketing.com. And it comes back to the earlier mission of first helping people improve their lives and then helping people who have products and services get the word out on what they're doing.
How long when you were starting selfgrowth.com before you actually started to turn a profit?
Well, our costs were very, very low. If you take a look at the investments that we had at the time, we invested $35 into the domain name. So it was a $35 investment in purchasing a domain name, and now you can get a domain name for about $10. And the only other real cost associated with it was hosting, and you can now host with GoDaddy.com for as little as $10 a month. So you can literally start a business right now with $10, $15 in a domain name, $10 a month for hosting. You can create a WordPress blog and get started. We didn't really have much in terms of expenses. So, you know, it was started as a hobby. And then shortly after we got our first advertiser, it was profitable for us. But we're a seven-figure business, consistently doing, you know, seven figures every year and looking to continue to grow. It's changed. You know, I remember the early days where we were excited to get $100 a month and $1,000 a month and $10,000 a month and $100,000 a month. And it's been a very exciting journey for us. You know, my primary goal has still been to help folks. But clearly, this is my primary income. This is my business. I have employees. And if you're running a business, you want to look at your mission and your vision. But if you want to have a business, it needs to be profitable. It needs to generate revenue. So any kind of business, the core of the business is always going to be generate revenue to be profitable. Because if you're not, for any length of time, you're going to be out of business. So that's really what sustains your business.
Let's talk a little bit, David, about how you built your team, because that's a critical part of this whole thing.
I'll take you back to the first employee and how I really got started. I mentioned that one of the things that I believed in was really finding mentors and figuring out what people were doing. I'll take you back, because one of the things that I wanted to do early on was figure out how to grow the business. So the best way for me to do that was figure out how other people were successful. So I decided I needed to find a book on the self-improvement industry. And I wanted to find something that talked about all the experts and all the successful companies and what they did in their products and services, and I couldn't find anything. There was nothing out there. And after I couldn't find it, I said, you know what? This is a great idea. If I wanted it, this is probably something other people are going to want. So I decided to write a book on the self-improvement industry, on who all the top experts were. But at the time, I didn't really have any expertise. I wasn't a writer. I was a sales guy, maybe a little marketing, but primarily a sales guy. So I didn't have a lot of these skills. So I ended up hiring somebody from a local college to help me out. And actually, throughout the years, even when I was a part-time business, I'd hire high school kids and college students part-time to help me out. And then once I got the business going, I started hiring full-time people. And most of the people that I hired were right out of college or shortly out of college. And I went the traditional route. So I'd go to place an ad on monster.com, and I'd go through traditional route, and I'd identify the background of the person that I wanted and do the traditional interviewing and background checks, all the things along those lines. And was always looking to find someone who I thought would be a good fit with me and my team. So the first person full-time I brought on, I wanted to be a good fit with my team and good background. And then as we continue to grow and bring people on, every additional person, I wanted to make sure it really fit in so I could build not necessarily a group of individuals, but a team of people who wanted to help me build what we're doing. And if you're just starting out as a business person, an entrepreneur, there are a ton of resources now to find people. I'll share a few of them with you. Do you have a lot of entrepreneurs, business people, small business owners that listen?
We do.
I'll give you a few guidelines of what I continue to do and what I recommend doing right now. So if you're just starting out, most folks aren't going to hire a full-time person when they start out. So you can do a couple of things. One is you can outsource a lot of things that you're doing. And one of the places that I love the most is called Elance.com, E-L-A-N-C-E.com. And you can post projects that you want done, whether you want a website done or an email newsletter, or you need help with writing articles, whatever it is, you post it and you can find people from around the world to help you in that particular area. So I'm a strong advocate of outsourcing. There are also places you can outsource to people in India and the Philippines, just about anywhere. You can also find what are called virtual assistants. And these are people who work with you on a more regular basis. They're called VAs or virtual assistants. And you could also find people locally through places like Craigslist. The opportunity for finding people is much, much easier right now. And we're also in a tough economy, so people are actively looking for, you know, any kind of income. So it's generally easier at this point to find people to fit in with whatever your needs are.
You mentioned the economy. Has it had an effect on your business?
It did have an effect on our business, and I think it had an effect on everybody. You know, we're steadily growing, and then for the past year and a half, definitely there's a little bit of a dip, and then we flattened out a little bit, and now we're starting to see some growth again.
This is Chris Costello reporting for Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I want to ask you, where do you see the internet business itself going?
It's fairly consistent with what I think a lot of folks are seeing. If you take a look at what's going on right now with the internet, technologies are beginning to merge. It's clearly happening already. And if you look at the technologies that are there, the internet is clearly very prevalent. Television is still usually prevalent. Cell phones are everywhere. Everybody's got a cell phone. So what's been happening and will continue happening over the next few years is these technologies are merging. So, for example, on the internet, you can now watch television, or you can talk to people on the internet through Skype. On a smartphone, you can get internet access right now. On your television, you can get internet access right now. So what I see in the future is all these devices having a lot more capability. So if you want to talk to somebody on the phone, watch TV, or browse the internet, you'll be able to do it on your computer. You'll be able to do it on your smartphone or cell phone. You'll be able to do it on the TV. All three of these will provide access to everything. So everything's going to be more integrated. And that's already happening right now, but I think we're going to see it on a larger scale. And you can even see, if someone goes to Japan, you could see where they are with cell phone and smartphone technology. It's just much more prevalent than it is right now. And more people are using the internet, and it's all merging into one giant technology. This is going to continue to happen. And then whatever we call this technology, whether we call it the internet or whether we call access through cell phone, more and more business is clearly going to be done through these. And social media is also playing a larger role because more people are getting engaged in social media, whether it be through Facebook or LinkedIn or through Twitter, and still a lot of people on MySpace. So each of these is still going to be a critical component, and I expect something that will continue, you know, over the future. You're not going to be able to avoid it because everything is becoming integrated.
Can you recall what are some of the biggest mistakes you've made?
I've made quite a few mistakes. I remember some of the more painful ones. I'll give you an example, and I learned a very strong lesson from it. It was a technology lesson. One of the things that we had done early on is I mentioned we had reached out to website owners in order to exchange links to help build our website. So we'd put a description of what they had on their website, and then they'd put a description of us. And so I was building this list of first hundreds and then thousands of website owners. And what I would do is periodically email them just to keep them up to date on what we're doing. And one particular day, there was a technology glitch. And let me tell you what happened. I sent out an email about an update we were making to the website. Let's say there were a few thousand people on the list. One of them responded to me and sent back an email saying, thanks for the information, appreciate it. And what happened was, instead of it just going back to me, it went to everybody on the list. So their email went to everybody on the list. And then another person got their email and say, why the hell are you sending me this? Why don't you just send it directly to Dave? So that email saying, why the hell did you send this to me, went out to everybody on my list. And then somebody else got that and say, what are you telling me? What the hell? And it just started escalating. And maybe 30 or 40 emails later, the language and the anger and the frustration of all these people on my list just took place. It took me maybe 6 hours or so to kill the process, to stop whatever the problem was. But within that 6 hours, there were so many, you know, horrendous, angry emails that went back and forth. It was devastating, and it clearly had a major impact on all these partners I was working with. You need to be extremely careful on technology. You know, generally, most of the technology is available right now. There's fail-safe systems in place, and that's not going to happen with most of the technology, and there's a lot of proven technology. But this goes back a bit where there were listservs and things like that, and it was very painful. It could have put me back a full year in terms of what I was doing, literally. That's how painful it was.
Wow.
But there are a lot of people at that point were saying, take me off your list. Don't ever email me again. I don't ever want to do anything with you ever again. But at that point, I was getting pretty angry about it myself. You know, that was one of the more frustrating and bigger challenges that I'd make. And what I try to do for each one of these is, if you're running a business and you're trying to do anything, there are going to be failures. There are things that are going to work, and there are things that are not going to work. And you need to roll with the punches. And what I recommend doing is this concept of reframing problems or mistakes or failures. And I tend to try to reframe them as a learning experience. So, yes, I had a big failure, and yes, it was painful at the time. I clearly wasn't looking at it as a learning experience. But over time, I reframed it, and it helped me grow and figure out what I did need to do to succeed. We started with a core group of topics that my wife, Michelle, and I had interest in. And over time, we've been growing that. But what's interesting is I think the things people are still interested in, the core things they're interested in, are the same. So if you want to take a look at some of the core things, if you go to selfgrowth.com, you'll see them right at the top. People are still interested in improving their relationships. People will always be interested in improving their health. They'll always be interested in improving their finances. And in addition, you know, people want to be successful, and people define success different ways. And throughout this, you know, people also want to be happy. So that kind of permeates everything they're doing. And those core things are the same things that people were interested in years ago, they're interested in today, and they're going to be interested in years from now. And what we've really done is we've identified topics that fit under these core areas. So that's really the way we look at it. So if you look at relationships, that's a pretty broad area. But some people are interested in dating, and some people are interested in family, and some people are interested in intimacy, and some sexuality, and some in parenting, all under relationships. And it's the same thing with health, finance, and success. So all we really do is continue to define different areas so people can find the information that's most important to them.
And what topics have you found have the most demand?
It varies, and for a particular website, there's a couple of approaches to looking at it. There's what I call overall demand on the internet, and there's clearly been a rise in the last few years. There's a lot of interest for people in terms of finances. So there's a lot of folks that are struggling and want to figure out how to either earn more money or get a better job or get a job. And there's clearly a lot of interest in finances right now. But there's also a lot of challenges. People on a day-to-day basis have tremendous challenges with health, and this permeates our whole society. Not only are we having a financial crisis, but we're having a health crisis right now. And some people would argue we're having a relationship crisis right now. There clearly continues to be a lot of interest in all these areas.
How do you keep track of which area you want to build on first?
Well, a lot of it has to do with what the interests are, and some of it has to do with what my interests are. So it's a combination, and there are tools out there to analyze how much web traffic we're getting and what keywords people are searching and what there's interest in. And then, you know, we'll do surveys of our visitors and our subscribers and ask them what they're interested in. So, you know, we use a lot of traditional marketing techniques to figure out what there's interest in, and then we try to deliver it. If you take a look at our model, the vast majority of consumer information that we directly provide, so information about how to improve your relationship, your finances, your health, is free on our website. So we have 100,000 articles, all for free on our website. We have videos. We have podcasts. We have experts on our website. And all the information is basically free on our website. But in addition to that, we do sell higher-end products and services. We have some of our own. So we have books and e-books. And we also provide training programs for people to help build their business. So we have a mix. We have a lot of free stuff, but we also have a mix of some premium products for people to help improve their lives. We've done a good job of getting our name out there and building a good size audience. We get 1.3 million visitors, and right now that's a decent size for what I describe as hardcore self-improvement people. So people who are actively pursuing or looking for this concept of self-improvement. In the world at large, we're still a very small website. So we're approximately one of the top 5,000 websites out of 100 million websites. But my goal is really to build this into next the top 1,000 website and hopefully one day a top 100 website and really get the word out and help a lot more people. So one of the things we want to do is just build a much wider and broader audience that we're providing information for. The next thing we want to do is provide more scientific tools to help people improve their lives. So right now, if you go to selfgrowth.com, we have all these resources and they're nicely organized, but we don't give you that much guidance to figure out which one's best for you. We provide some, but for example, there might be 100 different weight loss programs. There might be 20 different goal setting programs. There might be 10 different ways to learn a new language or improve your relationships for each one of these. Ideally, the vision, and we're early on, we haven't really created anything yet, is for someone to be able to come to our site and perhaps take some sort of assessment or test, and based on that test or assessment, we could recommend the product, services, and information that we think would help them improve their lives the fastest or the easiest. And it comes down to my general philosophy that there isn't one perfect self-improvement process, procedure, book to help everybody, and people need to really find the one that works best for them. And our goal is to help them along that process. And a technology or a testing system would really help a long ways, but there really isn't anything developed like that. So midterm, long-term, I'd love to participate with folks to help create something like that. Another thing that we're also looking to do is get the word out more off the internet. So most of our promotion comes through the internet. So we do a lot of stuff through the search engines and social media and through email and newsletters. But over the course of the next year, we also want to start getting the word out a lot more directly through media, through radio, through TV, through print, through traditional medium as well to get the word out. We know there's plenty of opportunity there, so we're looking to grow. We're always doing teleseminars and webinars and things along those lines. What I recommend folks do to get information along these, you can start on selfgrowth.com. And if you don't have an account here already, what I recommend you do is create an account. And if you're looking to improve your own health, wealth, finances, I recommend that you just create what we call a personal account. Put your name and email address in, say, I want to improve my life. If you're looking to help others improve their life and grow your business, put that down and you create what we call a professional account. And on a regular basis, we send information out about products and services and webinars. And if you go to our site as well, you'll see at the top, it says events. You can just click on the events section on our page, and it has a list of all the upcoming teleseminars and webinars and live events that are being put on either by ourselves, by selfgrowth.com, or by our partners. So that's really a good place to start. One of the things I think we lose sight of is what I describe as the basics. And I think we lose sight of this, the basics, and what I describe as some common sense things to improve your life. And just to give you a quick example, a lot of folks are on all these diets. There's 100 different diets you could get out there. But the main focus for losing weight for most people is just exercise more, eat less food. Simple. Exercise more, eat less. And then, you know, there's some core basics. You know, you want to eat more protein and less carbs. You want to keep away from the bad fats like the saturated trans fats and drink plenty of water and, you know, do strength conditioning, all that kind of stuff. And it's the same way for relationships or finances. Really focus on some of the basics and learning and understanding what are the basics. And we provide a ton of that type of material on our site. And then most people know when to lose weight that if you exercise more and you eat less, you're likely to lose weight. Most people know that. It's one of those common sense things. But then it becomes a matter of who is going to help you do that and maintain that. And that's where selfgrowth.com comes in and a lot of the tools that we provide, a lot of the resources that we have.
Thank you, David. That's the end of our interview, and I hope you've enjoyed it. For more great health-related interviews, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
That's the end of our interview with David Ricklin. I hope you found it helpful. For more wonderful marketing interviews, go to www.hardtofindseminars.com.